Pray for me this week too, just for refreshment and vision. I'm going to get some space to pray on the beach and ocean, and just as we look ahead to what God is doing here at Rockside, through Rockside, and the coming weeks and months, it's going to be incredible. It already has been all these years, but God's got new things for us, fresh anointing and places of healing, and our team, God is building the team, and it's incredible what he's doing. To God be the glory. Great things he has done, but great things that are still to come, right? And you guys are all a part of that. It's not just the team. It's all of us, a part of the community that is impacting the kingdom. So let's pray. We're going to get into scripture today. And so, Lord, thank you again just for the opportunity to be in your presence. God, thank you for Rockside Church. God, thank you for those that are listening and watching online. God, I pray that your presence is here. God, speak through your word today. Teach us, transform us. God, you know where we're at. You know our struggles. You know where our heart needs to get aligned. And so, Holy Spirit, you do what only you can do today. God, we thank you so much in your precious name. Amen. We've been in a series the last month, basically 2 months, in Exodus. And again, we're not going to be able to cover all of the entire book. So please read in between the things that we aren't covering. It's important. All right. We're talking about from bondage to freedom. All right. That is the message of Jesus, the blood that covers. All right. That's what we're going to be talking about today. I know in the video it referenced all the different plagues that hit Egypt. Now, we are not going to be able to go through each one of those plagues today, but I want to walk through them with you briefly, because as we understand, Moses was called to go confront Pharaoh, right? He was called to go set the people free. Amazing. And as he does that, he's confronted every time with Pharaoh not wanting to oblige, all right? So God sends Moses with a consistent message, and it is this: let my people go so they may worship me. But Pharaoh's heart remains hard, and each refusal brings a greater demonstration of God's power. So every time he refuses, the next judgment is bigger and greater. Water turned to blood. That was the first one. The Nile River was their lifeline. So the fact that it turned to blood, it killed the fish. Everything in it died. The next one was frogs, right? In their homes, their beds, and their kitchens. Pharaoh begs for relief, but he hardens his heart. Next up were gnats or lice. Ew, right? It was right. Dust turned into gnats, covering people and animals. Even Pharaoh's magicians said, that has to be the finger of God. Pharaoh still refuses. Next up, flies. Swarms of flies fill Egypt. But not where the Israelites were, just where the Egyptians were. You see, God separates his people from judgment all the time. Pharaoh offers compromise, but he still won't fully obey. Next up, livestock disease, then boils, okay? Hail, devastating storm kills all the crops. Locusts, they devour what's left of the hail. Pharaoh, again, thinks about doing something about it, but he doesn't. And lastly, before the 10th one, is darkness. A deep darkness covered Egypt for 3 days, yet Israel had light. I'm sure Pharaoh got tired of seeing constantly Israel taken care of, and the Egyptians were suffering at the hand of the God of Israel. This darkness covered Egypt. This was not just physical, it was spiritual. Egypt is plunged into hopelessness, while God's people remain in the light. He was setting the stage. He was making a point, right, to the Pharaoh. The God of Israel was making it real clear. Pharaoh still refuses to surrender. So we're going to pick up, all right, so again, 7, 8, 9, 10, you're going to want to read that, all right, because we're going to head into chapter 12 today. So turn with me to Exodus 12, and we're going to take a look at the blood that covers. The reason why it's so important, why we celebrate communion today, the blood of Jesus, all right? So I'm going to read from the NLT a few verses. They should be on the screen as well. All right, so here we go. This is going to be the first Passover, right? So this is important that you take note. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share it with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or goat, with no defects. All right, so again, you're starting to see connecting to who Jesus was and the lamb, right? The perfect lamb. So again, this is the first one. Verse 6, take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. The same night, they must roast the meat over fire and eat it along with the bitter salad greens and bread that you made without yeast. See, God's very detailed, right? He wants obedience in all the details, right? It's very important. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, and internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. All right. Again, he's giving him very specific instructions because the angel of death is going to come with the judgment of the firstborn. And so he's saying to Israel, do this so that you will be protected. On the night I will pass through the land of Egypt, and I will strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male and the male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Pass over. That's where we get that, right? This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. All right, the blood was the covering. And as the judgment came throughout the land, if your doorpost, if your home had the covering of the blood, you were protected. That's so beautiful because that doesn't just relate to back then. That connects to our lives today. Amen. The blood covers us. After generations of slavery, Israel stood on the edge of freedom for over 400 years. See, we don't understand that. We don't understand living under bondage and slavery. We don't. We live in a free America with all of its problems and issues. We still are free. 400 years they lived under that oppression. They had cried out to God, and God had responded through Moses. It always takes somebody, right? There always has to be a deliverer. 9 plagues had already struck Egypt, but one final moment was coming, the moment that would break Pharaoh's power forever. God gave a simple but powerful instructions. Take a lamb, sacrifice it, apply its blood to the doorpost of your home. This act was more than a ritual. It was a covenant act of faith. It was a covenant. The people were entering into divine covering. Such a beautiful thing. Imagine a violent storm moving through a town. Sirens are blaring, winds are rising, debris is flying everywhere. Some people ignore the warnings and stay outside. Others run into a storm shelter. Once inside the shelter, the storm may still rage, but they are protected because what? They're under a covering. The storm is not what determines their safety. It's their shelter. It's their shelter. Are you under the shelter? The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. It's a question for you. You see, that night in Egypt, judgment swept through the land like a storm. Those that had the blood on their doorposts were safe because they were under the blood. They were covered by the blood. It was a covenant. The blood was a covenant sign. In the ancient world, covenant relationships were sealed with blood. Blood represents life given for life. That's hard. That's hard for me. I'm an animal lover. I wouldn't have done well back in that day. I just wouldn't have. So thank you, Jesus, that I'm here now, because that would have been hard for me. But I understand it. I get it, but it's hard. Blood represents life given for life. When God told Israel to place the blood on the doorpost, he was establishing a visible covenant marker. Whenever we've bought a new home or things like that, we pray. We anoint our windows and doors, and we literally pray the blood of Jesus over our home, over our property line. We decree that it's his. It's his. He owns it, right? I encourage you to do the same. The house marked with blood belonged to God. The judgment passed over because the covenant protected them. Imagine walking down the street that night in Egypt. You would have saw two kinds of houses. Probably would have looked a little strange, I would suppose. Some doors were just plain wood. Others had blood across the top beam and the two side posts. The blood was a declaration. This house belongs to God. I'm going to say this too, Rockside. We pray that over this church. We pray this over this campus. We pray it over the doors when you walk in that the blood of Jesus covers. Because you know what? This house, this sanctuary, this community belongs to God. And we want to be under that covering, right? Huh. The blood required personal application. Every family had to apply the blood themselves. No one could do it for them. The lamb could be slain, but if the blood was not applied, the house remained uncovered. So provision must be personally applied, and that's fulfilled through Jesus Christ, right? He fulfilled it. The cross provided salvation, but salvation must be personally received by faith. Jesus died on the cross. The provision was there. It was laid out for the world, but the world still has to receive. The world still has to say yes. We need to be able to tell them about that, right, as well. But it comes down to receiving. The blood created a boundary as well. That night, there were only two kinds of homes. Homes that were covered, homes that were not. My friend, you're walking around either covered or not. That's not a condemnation, that's a wake-up call. May every day when you leave your house, you pray the armor of God in your life and you plead the blood of Jesus over your life and your family. We are in a spiritual war. Sometimes, again, in America, we have so many blessings and we have so many things going right that we don't sometimes feel desperate. When you look at the rest of the world, and you can pick any country, any place, there's stuff going on. We got wars. We got famines. We've got people being murdered. I mean, it's madness. And we have that in the States as well. But the point is, like, we need to be covered. You need to be covering your family. You need to be covering yourself. The blood of Jesus covers us. Inside the covered house, there was safety. Outside, there was judgment. The blood created a spiritual boundary. Inside the house, children could sleep peacefully. The blood of the Lamb created this kind of boundary, and it does that for us today. Today, the blood of Jesus creates it for us so that there can be protection and healing. We can have bondage, move from bondage to freedom. Instead of death, we can have life. Instead of condemnation, we can have forgiveness for sins. The blood also points to the cross. The Passover lamb was a prophetic picture of Christ, right? One day Jesus would be the sacrifice. He would be perfect and he would be crucified for our sins. That blood again would be applied and we would get the opportunity to receive. Pretty amazing, don't you think? That all the way back then, it was prophesied what was going to be. Jesus lived without sin, and his blood redeemed humanity, and it's still redeeming humanity today. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19 says, "You were ransomed, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." His precious blood that was paid for. So here's a couple applications, practical applications for us today. You guys with me? Okay. Number one. The blood brings forgiveness. Aren't you thankful? Amen. Brings forgiveness for sin. Ephesians 1:7 says this. "He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins." John 1:7 says, "But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us all from sin." That's what's available. The blood of Jesus cleanses all of us. Those that would receive him. The Bible says that our sins can be washed as far as the east is from the west. They can be washed as white as snow because of the price that was paid because of Jesus' blood. Forgiveness is not earned. Let me say that. There's nothing we can do to earn forgiveness. It's already been earned, and now it's given as a gift, and you just need to receive. You just need to apply it to your life. Amen? When we trust in Christ, his sacrifice becomes personal. The longer I serve Jesus and the longer I read his scriptures and get to know him, I'm so grateful. None of us deserved what Jesus paid on the cross for us. We deserved to die for our sins, but yet he came as that lamb, that sacrifice, so that we wouldn't have to. The blood covers our past failures. Whether that was tomorrow, last night, or a year ago, he covers our failures, our present struggles, no matter what they are. His blood covers that. Our future shortcomings. See, he's a good God. He knows us. We're his kids. He designed us. He created us. His blood covers. You see, God doesn't just overlook sin. He removes it because it's already been paid for. The blood of Christ doesn't just make you better. It makes you clean. I often ask the Lord for forgiveness. I often make sure that my heart is clean before him. It's just a practice that I have chosen to do because I realize that every day I need him and I'm desperately flawed and human and I need his forgiveness and I need his grace and I need his help. And he's so gracious because every time he grants it, right? Because what did he do, right? He put out his hands and died on a cross for us. You see, you and I, we don't have to carry what Jesus already has carried. But we so often do. When the enemy reminds you of your past, you stand under the covering of the blood and remind him it's already been forgiven. Because see, the enemy will come and try to bring up the things, the failures, the sins, the dark part of your life. And he'll try to speak to you, try to tell you who you were, who you are. You need to remind him that you're under the blood and that that's been forgiven. And you can also remind him of his future, that at some point when Jesus comes back, he's going to deal with him, right? And you can stand in victory because of what Christ has already done. The enemy only has the authority that we allow. So the blood brings forgiveness. It also breaks bondages. Come on, somebody. John 8:36 says this, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Amen. So why are you walking around bound? Great question. Sometimes we get comfortable with our labels. We get comfortable with what we've been known as. It's just easy. Sometimes it's too hard to confront the truth and go, okay, God, I'm giving this to you. I want to be set free so I can set others free. Amen. Revelation 12:11 says this, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." Oh, each one of you that know Jesus as your Lord and Savior have a testimony. God has done miracles in your life. That is the power of sharing it with others, because nobody can dispute what you've experienced with Jesus. It's a powerful part of what God has done. Colossians 1:13-14 says this, "For he has rescued us." That's beautiful. God's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad to be transferred out of darkness. Come on, right? Thank you, Jesus. I want to be able to walk in the light because he's in the light, right? In Exodus, judgment passed over every house. Because why? It was covered by the blood. Today, the blood of Jesus doesn't just forgive sins. It breaks powers over our lives. That means addiction no longer can own you. If you want it. Right? That's up to you, though. Will you receive? Right? Bitterness no longer defines you. If you can give that to Jesus and let the blood wash over you. Fear no longer controls you, because the blood of Jesus can set you free. Cycles can no longer continue in your life. The blood breaks both the penalty and the power of sin in our lives. Freedom begins when you stop fighting for victory, listen to this, and start standing in the victory Jesus already won. Come on, right? We just talked about it in pre-service prayer. I'm going to say that again. Freedom begins when you stop fighting for victory and you start standing in the victory Jesus has already won. His promises are yes and amen. What the word says, he will fulfill. His promises are yes and amen. Number three, the blood gives spiritual authority. Not because of anything that we can do, but because of him, who he is. Hebrews 10:19 says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." We don't have to go through anybody else to talk to the creator of the universe. Because of Jesus, we can go straight up to God. You don't need to have anybody pray for you. You can just start talking to the Lord himself. Incredible. James 4:7. "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Resist. Now, if you're his friend, that's not going to work real well, right? "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. They cannot be around the power of Jesus, the power of Christ. Luke 10:19 says this, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." That's not our authority. We got nothing. Jesus says, "I've given you my authority," right? Over the power of the enemy. What in your life is still controlled by the enemy? Figure that out. God's giving you the power to overcome that. He's giving you the authority to stop giving into that, to stop aligning with what the enemy says and start getting yourself aligned with what Jesus is saying. The blood of Jesus doesn't just save you, but it gives you access. It gives you authority. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could enter God's presence. Aren't you glad that we move beyond that? Now, because of Jesus, you and I can come boldly into God's throne, into his presence at any time. You can be in your car, you can be in your bedroom, you can be at an altar, you can be wherever. And you can enter into that throne room freely because of what Jesus' blood has done for us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? We carry spiritual authority because of Christ. When we say, Lord, cover this with the blood of Jesus, we are declaring his finished work. We are standing in his victory. And we are applying his covenant over our lives. It's not superstition. It's not some magic wand. It's alignment with what Jesus has already accomplished. And that's beautiful. You don't have to be afraid of the darkness. You don't have to be intimidated even by what's going on in the world, how evil and dark it is. We've been given authority because of Jesus. You can pray with confidence over your home, over your family, over your mind, over the world. We can pray with confidence because the same blood that saved you now speaks on your behalf. That's why the power of prayer is so important for our loved ones. If you've got family members that don't know Jesus, don't stop praying. Keep praying. If you're dealing with sickness or diagnosis and you haven't seen that answer yet, don't stop praying. Don't stop standing and believing in the truth of what God has said. We're called to be in the light, not align ourselves with the darkness of the world. The blood of Jesus covers us in three ongoing ways, and I'm going to be closing here in a minute. Positionally, you are made right with God once and for all. Practically, you can walk in daily cleansing as you confess and follow him. And powerfully, you live under his authority and victory in every area of life. Guys, this is not just theology, it's transformation. You and I are forgiven. You and I are free. You and I are covered by the blood of Jesus. On that night, so long ago, every family had to answer one question. Is the blood applied? Not just respected, but applied. Today, the same question still matters to us. Have you placed your faith in the sacrifice of Christ? Have you placed your life in his hands? So, worship team, if you guys would go ahead and get in place. And let's stand to our feet because I want us just to take a moment to respond. And we're going to have a time of worship. And like I said, Scott will come up a little bit later and lead us in communion. I want you just to close your eyes as we think about responding to the Lord. We've been talking a lot this month about bondage. And you know, there are some of you here today that there's still bondage that has a grip on your life. It might be a lot better, but it's still there. The grip is still there. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's anger, shame. I don't know what it is, but the blood of Jesus that freed Israel can free you today. Freedom begins under the blood. All right, so I want to encourage you today as we worship the Lord in a few more songs. Whatever you're carrying, whatever the bondage in your life that's overwhelming you, you know what? And it may not be you, it might be a family member. You know, maybe you're believing for somebody that just needs Jesus. Maybe they're away from the Lord. Parents, don't stop praying for your kids. Spouses, don't stop praying for your homes. Continue that. Pray things like, Lord, my family belongs to you. Pray, Lord, my house belongs to you. Pray things like, my kids belong to you. Begin to pray those in faith, even though that might not be the case today. But begin praying the blood of Jesus over your life, over your health, over your family, and watch what God will do. It's incredible what God will do. Amen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and we're going to go into a time of worship, and I want to encourage you to respond to the Lord. Find a place to pray. It can be at your chair. It can be at an altar, whatever that looks like for you. But I encourage you to connect with the Lord. Where do you need freedom? Where do you need the blood of Jesus applied in your life today? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you, Jesus, Father, for the example in Moses, God, that we can understand your power and your greatness. God, thank you, Father, for how you rescued the Israelites because the blood was applied to their homes. God, I pray that we wouldn't just see that as a great account in history, but God, we would see that as a formula for our lives. God, help us to pray that. Help us, God, to walk in that covering. Lord, I pray for those that are needing freedom today, whatever that is. Lord, that they wouldn't leave from this place till they have experienced your touch. God, I pray for the next few moments as we worship you, as we're in your presence. God, speak to our hearts. Call us to new places of holiness. God, show us the areas in our lives that have to be transformed. God, we thank you that you care. We thank you that you are a good God and that you love us. We love you, Jesus, so much in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's respond to the Lord today as we worship.
Is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he is risen. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Remain in this spirit of worship as we come to the Father's table and prepare our hearts for communion. As we're going through the sermon, Exodus 12:13, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. It was public. It marked who was covered. And then when we read 1 Corinthians 11:26, it tells us whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And I just, as Pastor Michelle was preaching, the connection made it in my brain, and I'm hoping it makes it for you, is Christ's death. It's that blood that covers us. And communion isn't just about receiving this. It's about proclaiming, not in a hidden way, but corporately. We are proclaiming that Christ died for us. His blood covers us. Amen? Thank you. And so, let's just come before him in an attitude of prayer and just thank him where you are. Thank him for that blood. Thank him for everything that means. It means that we are blessed. It means we're forgiven. It means we're healed. It means we're delivered. We're no longer under bondage. It means that we are favored, highly favored. It means that we are anointed. It means that we are filled with His Spirit. Heavenly Father, as we just remember You and we proclaim that what Your blood did for us and that You are coming again, God, help us. Help us draw close to You. Help us see what communion means. Amen. So, in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "The same night in which He was handed over, He took the bread and gave thanks. Then He distributed it to the disciples and said, 'Take it and eat. It is My body, which is given for you. Do this to remember it.'" So let's take the bread. Heavenly Father, thank You for sacrificing Your Son, for His body that was broken for us. Thank You. He did the same thing with the cup of wine after supper and said, "This cup seals the new covenant with My blood. Drink it. And whenever you drink this, do it to remember Me." At this point, I'm going to ask those that are on the prayer team to come forward. And as we close, we want to keep the altar, this sanctuary, a place where people meet with God. So we invite you, as you leave, if you're going to fellowship, fellowship out in the hallway. Allow this to be a holy space for prayer. And with the final, if you have questions, if there are things about upcoming events, please visit us at the hub or at rocksidechurch.com. And with that, I'll close us in prayer and you can be dismissed, come up to pray, or go out and fellowship. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for today, for Your word, for the power that comes from Your blood, and for that deliverance that comes and that freedom that comes with it. So Lord, cover us as we go out. Deliver us. Anoint us to do Your service. Cover our pastor as she travels. Give her a time of rest and respite with You. And Lord, we seal this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Sing one more time.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.